The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security, disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
That's right. All right, number three, Golden State Warriors star Kevin Durant will have his strained right calf reevaluated on Thursday and will miss at least Tuesday's Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals against the Portland Trail Blazers. It is also expected that he will miss Game 2 as well, and potentially even more.
Bad news for the Warriors. Opportunity knocks. I mean, Portland's been the best-kept secret in the NBA with Lillard and McCollum playing there for a couple of years. And they've just never been able to get past the Rockets and the Warriors. And now all of a sudden, like,
this could be it.
Yeah, I mean, this is – we talked about the Rockets. It was their big shot. They couldn't do it. You don't know if you're going to get another shot if you're Portland. So it'll be interesting to see if they can come out there and get home court advantage early.
All right, number four, Phoenix Suns forward Josh Jackson was arrested in Miami this weekend and faces a felony charge of escape and a misdemeanor charge of resisting arrest, according to online court records. It's been reported that Jackson was arrested at the Rolling Loud Music Festival after he attempted to enter the VIP area too many times without a proper pass. So to me, I read this as he was going up to the VIP section, I'm Josh Jackson, and they were saying, Who? Yeah, I'm an NBA player for the Suns.
And he kept I feel like you said he did it multiple times.
Yeah, he just kept trying to get in.
So, like, I would, you know what? I'm a big NBA star. Go up to the VIP room. They reject you. Like, that would suck. I would be really embarrassed. But I think I would slink out at that point. What I wouldn't do is, like, come back multiple times and keep trying to get in.
Josh Jackson!
That seems really embarrassing.
It really did.
Well, and now we're talking about it.
Yeah,
we wouldn't have even heard about this if he had just slunk out the first time. Now he gets arrested. Yeah. He's on the docket.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. All right, number five.
What musical festival was it?
The Rolling Loud Music Festival in Miami Gardens, Florida.
I'm not familiar.
Wow. That was down there?
Yes.
Huh.
Number five. Multiple cases of a dog disease that is transferable to humans have been confirmed in Iowa by state veterinarian Dr. Jeff Kiesland. In a statement from the department, officials note that cases of canine bruciolis, a zoonotic bacterial disease, originated from a small dog commercial breeding facility in Marion County, Iowa. Canine bruciolosis, that's actually how it's spelled, I think, can be transmitted to humans and other animals through contaminated reproductive fluids. For most dog owners, this makes the risk of infection very low, according to the Iowa Department of Agricultural and Land Stewardship, but the risk is higher for dog breeders, veterinary staff, and anyone else who comes in contact with blood, tissues, and fluids during the birthing process of dogs.
Great. So this is how the world ends, huh?
Basically.
Not
there's now there's
nuclear war.
Yeah.
Not, you know,
uh-uh.
It wasn't going to be Ebola.
No.
The dogs are going to get this.
Yeah, the dog diseases from their reproductive systems are now infecting human beings.
Well, that's just great.
Which is not good. It's like excessive flu-like systems.
That's just great.
Excessive flu-like symptoms?
Yes.
Oh.
That sounds utterly horrifying. Man's best friend weaponized against us. Could you say the name of that disease again, Rick?
Yeah, I feel like you were just making up words.
Yeah.
I wasn't making
up
words.
It's veterinarian.
I'm gonna zoom in. Canine bruciolosis.
Let me see.
I thought you were actually doing well, but this is just, I mean, you're kind of petering out here.
Bruciolosis?
Well, they like to make fun of me for my pronunciation.
Bruce Perlosis?
It's more that you don't talk into the microphone. You never wear your headphones still, even after Russell gave you the extra lecture.
It's true. You're not wearing your headphones, right?
I don't have headphones.
What's going on have you found more suitable living arrangements, better accommodations?
No, but I've asked you a bunch. And you've still said no.
Are you looking for something else now? And Brandon, like, when are you and Cody moving out, and what happens to your Chinese roommate?
I think he is currently in the process of moving out, so school's over. I've noticed he's been packing some things up.
Did you guys ever, like, reach out to him, try to welcome him into the family?
I did.
Like, make him feel like one of the guys?
Yes. Yeah. We reached out to him on many occasions, tried to make him feel welcomed, and just to no avail. It never took root.
The cultural barrier was too high.
I feel like
we tried to drink beer and watch football with him.
You gave him a beer and said, like, come over here, watch
well,
the game.
We were drinking beer, and we had football on the TV, and he walked by and was like, you want to watch the football with us? And he's like, no.
What kind of beer were you drinking?
We drank beer. I liked beer. Still like beer.
They drink the good stuff over there.
No, they don't.
Probably like we probably had a – it was either Yingling or Miller Lite. Those are pretty standard go-tos.
So, like, you asked him, and he said, like, no. Like, you should be – what's his name?
Alex.
Be like, Alex, come over here, dude. Like, come over here.
That's not his name.
Come on. That's cool.
What he wants to be called.
Okay, we'll change the names, like, because we're not want to make fun of anybody. Like, come over here, like, sit down. Like, he probably doesn't understand local customs, doesn't understand the game. But, like, this is football. This is who we're watching. It's so-and-so. Like, tell us a little bit. Where are you from? Do you even know where he's from?
He's from China.
Where? China's a big country, Brandon.
Yes, it is.
Is he from Beijing? Is he a communist?
He speaks Mandarin.
Like, you know, has he been to, like, he's probably got a cool story, man. Has he been to the Great Wall? Like, what's his deal?
These are things that I would love to know, but he stays to himself.
What?
And Cody and I do not want to make him feel uncomfortable by forcing him to hang out with
us. Yes, you don't want to make him feel uncomfortable, so you've turned him into a hermit. You've lived with this kid for an entire year, and you've had – how many conversations have you had? You probably count them on one hand, right?
Like full-on conversations?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm saying, man.
I've tried.
Cody and I have tried.
Yes, we have.
You haven't.
You don't know. You've not been there.
I tried twice.
Bear has been there. Bear knows it's very difficult.
All right, well, but what does this tell you? He's been over to your apartment how many times? Dozen, less than that, 5-10 times.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Like three or four?
Three or four.
And three or four times, and twice, he's tried to initiate a conversation with your Chinese roommate. You guys have done it on one hand for several months now?
And Bear, it does not – it's very difficult. There's not much conversation to be had, is there?
None. Usually for me, you know, I mean, it doesn't matter if people want to talk to me or not. If I decide I want to talk to you, people talk to me. I kind of stood in front of his door that one time.
Like just, like while it was shut?
Yeah, like he was going in it and I would just stand. It's weird.
You just stand outside his door?
No. He came in the front door. I was standing over there on that side of the living room and there was like doors everywhere in this place.
And you're like, hey man, what's up?
Yeah.
What's your name? Where are you from?
And I could tell that it was he was trying to, like, do the thing, you know?
Trying to get out of there?
Trying to get around me to get to his door, and I knew that.
You didn't want to make eye contact? He's kind of, like, looking down, like, just – he's probably just scared, man. He's scared because of the language barrier, and you guys just need
I thought you were saying my bad language. And I was most people don't have a problem with it.
Well, Bear's a big, intimidating guy.
I'm not that big.
Bear, did you ever show Russ the pictures that you took?
No, because I knew that it would freak him out over this whole – I mean, he's already pissed off enough about the whole Rick thing.
Well,
which Cody said there's nothing you can do about it, so give up.
There's not, and we've decided that instead of going the apartment route, I think we're going to try to rent a house.
Oh, this is a great idea.
We need
this is
dog.
A great idea.
Can we get a dog?
That's the plan.
Wow.
Aggressive, hopefully?
I don't know.
Russ, can I tell you something?
Sure, Rick. Go ahead.
That is brand new information to me.
Well, Cody and
I. Now you're already in, buddy.
Well, Rick,
you don't have to do this, Rick.
I have no idea.
You can go and find other roommates.
No, well, you don't. Here's what you.
Well,
here's,
Rick,
here's
if
a
you if you
for.
Had come to hang out with Cody and I on Friday evening, you would be in the loop.
Nuh-uh, I wasn't invited. Russell's building tension right now.
Get used to that.
I think we need to get a giant schnauzer.
Yeah. Do you have a mouse in your pocket?
No, but I'll be hanging out at the house more than I did the apartment because y'all won't have the Chinese roommate anymore who made me uncomfortable, his lack of wanting to talk to me. And the giant schnauzer is one of the most difficult dogs to train, be around, anything.
Yeah, that sounds like a great idea.
This is
you gonna bring Neyland down from Granger County?
This just keeps getting better.
How bad? I mean, I feel like we could be good role models for your pit bull. That sweet dog.
He's a sweetheart.
He's loving life on the farm up there in Granger County, running through the tomato patch.
Morons. Just total morons. Surrounded by idiots.
Maybe you could come over, Russ. Come over to the house.
We're going
to
train that dog to bite you.
Have a nice cold domestic brew with us.
Russell doesn't get out much.
I know. Me and Cody were talking about that on Friday. He's like, we'd love for Russell to come up and just hang out with Russell
for
a little
bit.
You know,
like the rest of us go out to dinner and do stuff?
No, you don't.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we do.
You go out to dinner?
Yeah.
Yeah, we went to a local eatery.
Delicious.
In South Knoxville.
Once?
Yes.
Yeah,
and then
me and Cody met up.
You make it sound like this is some sort of regular occurrence.
Well, it's
Bear have had lunch before.
We eat lunch, you know, all of us do.
Well, listen,
we break bread together. Cody and I broke bread Saturday night.
A couple things here.
He laughed at you.
Couple things. First of all, you guys haven't invited me to any of these shindigs.
Because we know that you won't accept.
If me and Brandon and Cody McClure call you up and say,
true.
Hey, Russ.
That's probably true, Brandon. I probably wouldn't accept. But you extend the invitation.
All right. Well, next time.
We'll add you into the group text. Hey, does anybody want to go grab some Mexican tonight?
I'd love to, but I've got a thing. I'm sorry.
That's exactly what it says. Therefore, you're not included. I didn't realize that they were excluding Rick. I'll include Rick next time.
See, I've got like...
It's like power meetings. A lot of stuff gets decided at these dinners.
Like what? That Rick is going to live with Brandon and Cody in the den of sin?
Yeah, and that we're thinking about getting an aggressive, out-of-control
dog. Well, really hate that I didn't have any say in these important decisions. I feel like if only I were consulted, I could have added some much-needed guidance.
Well,
Rick and Brandon living together. Wow.
With McClure in charge.
Wow. Who's the head honcho? Who gets, like, the big bedroom in this place? Do you guys divide it up to, like...
In what place? Where we're at now?
Yeah, or if you get a house, there's going to be a master bedroom. Have you thought about this?
Most apartments are like
that, too.
I don't know.
Well, you're going to
stagger it whoever pays more rent, right?
That's how we always did it. How about you?
So that's what we'll do. But the one in this, they're all the same in the apartment right now. They're all the same.
They're identical. It's weird.
Who's going to be the master bedroom?
I don't know.
That's the power spot. Do you want to make a play for it?
I don't know if I want to pay that much. It depends.
You want to pay for it, Rick?
I don't know.
Rick in the master bedroom.
See, to me, I don't.
You going to get a job, Rick? That?
I don't care. But Cody,
you say you don't care now, but when you're, I mean, there's a inherently subservient like role that comes with when you're not in the master bedroom.
No.
Yes. You
doesn't.
You will see. You will see. Rick will be in charge.
If Rick is in
the
master bedroom, you think I'm bowing down to Rick?
I mean, you really think Rick
subconsciously
Butler's gonna
yes.
be able to,
that's what's happening.
You think Rick Butler's going to be
the
able
alpha
to
position?
Be the alpha over Cody and Brandon?
If he's in that master bedroom, man, I mean, it's all about positioning.
Okay.
Why do you think men want the corner office?
Well, it is
he
about
may have the biggest
bedroom.
I'd be willing to bet McClure will dump about half his trash bags full of whatever the hell's in those. Have you ever figured that out? What the hell's in those trash
bags?
No,
I don't know. I've only been in Cody's room like one time.
It's just trash bags, man.
Yes, Cody McClure does not have suitcases. He has trash bags.
He doesn't have a whole lot of furniture.
All his belongings into. This is the kind of people you're moving in with, Rick. Is this what you want for your life? Moving around
and
in trash bags
everywhere, and they're all tuned to G, just like the Stones. So you pick one up, and you're like, "What the hell? It's in G." Guess I'll play a Stones song.
Stay with us. The drive continues. We got the Throne Zone coming up. Right here on Fox Sports Knoxville.
The Drive.
At Gold's Gym.
Rickard Ridge Barbecue, smoking hot question du jour. How do you think Jeremy Pruitt's rebuilding job is going at Tennessee? 63% of the audience says right on schedule. 26% say it's going a bit slower than they expected. 8% say it's ahead of schedule, and 3% say complete disaster.
It's probably pretty close to where I thought it was going to be. Not the majority of people felt like.
Is that encouraging that, like, you know, there's a school of thought out there that
prevailing?
Well, yeah, that there's just not a lot of excitement about football season this year. Fans are tired, beaten down, whatever you want to call it. You know, 63%, that's a huge majority of the audience say actually things are going according to plan.
Yeah, I mean, I think I feel like, you know, we're still in that you're going to have to show us as a fan base. We're just – I feel like we've been in sports purgatory for ever now.
Donovan says, a bit slower. It's way early, but if you're saying on schedule was 5-7 and blew out to Vandy, then you're kidding yourself.
Well, that's a good point.
I mean, that's kind of what Brandon said is like the expectations going into last season was like nothing out of order. Like, if you can get to 6-6 in a bowl game, that's fine, which that is not setting the bar very high, and we couldn't do it. So if that is the expectation in year one, then, you know, it might be going a little bit slower than you thought it was.
I didn't expect us to lose to Vanderbilt. I really didn't.
Rambo Vol says, when are we going to beat Vandy? Scott says majority say he is right on schedule to get fired in 3 years. So, yes, very much so. Well.
Wow.
Hopefully not.
It's kind of rough.
Dave says, like the emphasis on O-line and defense. Well, that's where the emphasis has to be because those are the O-line is – both lines are really your weaknesses going into the season, and that's not a good thing in the SEC.
Well, that, I mean,
both lines.
Pretty much anybody. I mean, it goes without saying the best teams in the nation, year in and year out, always have the best offensive and defensive lines. I mean,
well, and it's a line of scrimmage league, and if you can't win in the trenches, you're probably not going to be winning on the scoreboard very much anyway, I would say.
No, you're going to get blown away like we have been the past 10 years.
Let's talk to DR Vol. Good afternoon, DR Vol. You're on the drive, Fan Run Radio.
Hey, guys. How are y'all?
Hey, doing well. Thanks.
I'm assuming I missed the Throne Zone, didn't I?
No. Coming up here about 10 minutes.
Okay. Well, you may want to cut me off. That's what I was calling about, as always, is the Throne Zone. But
what's your quick hot take or question, and then maybe we'll respond to that. On the Throne.
Okay. Do you think that everybody's complaining about Game of Thrones just to be cool? Like, just to have something to complain about?
I don't know, to be cool, but
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if it's like a conscious thing. I think it's like when you get on, you see everybody tearing it down, you want to be a part of something, and it's more of a social media thing. I mean, like, the numbers are – what do we always say on the show? Twitter is not real life. If you're looking at Twitter and you're seeing all these people – you know, tearing it down and talking about how much it sucks and, you know, whatever, then you would think, oh, man, this is a disaster. You look at the numbers, we've got, what, 10 million people watching every episode? Like, it's huge. It's still the most popular non-network show of all time, probably. Like, people love this show. I think there's kind of a herd mentality that you see on social media to bash it.
I got you. I mean, it's definitely a little bit more predictable than it used to be. And, Cody this morning, he was a mourning after losing his girl. Yeah, I felt bad for him. My favorite character bit the dust last night, the Hound. But I like the way they took him out of the show, though.
I was Team Danny all the way. And, you know,
I tried to tell you what was going
to
happen.
That doesn't seem to be panning out, so to speak. So I feel your pain, DR Vault. I feel Cody's pain.
Yeah. Yeah, so, well, I'll leave it at that since you haven't got to the Throne Zone yet, and I'll hang up and wait on that.
Thanks, man.
And
thank you.
See, I want to talk about
it
so
bad. In fact,
Brandon,
now. Hold on. We'll get there in just a minute. Could you please give me – I feel like I've got an I told you so over Russell.
For what?
I told you that Daenerys Targaryen was going to take a heel turn. She's going to blast everything. But you didn't want to pay attention.
Oh, yeah. No,
and once again, I'm goose-stepping.
Fake news. I didn't say it wasn't going to happen. I mean, it was clearly...
What are you doing?
That was it.
Oh. This is longer on his thing.
It was clearly That's what she said. It was clearly an option. It was clearly an option going into we knew that.
I mean, we'll get into it.
But
in
it could have been
zone.
An act. It could have been subterfuge on the show.
No, apparently.
Well, it's not like they throw out misdirection.
You guys
all the time.
We'll talk about it in the next segment. You guys deluded yourselves. Even the showrunners—they've been telling you for years this ain't going to have a happy ending. Everything that was foreshadowed that just came true.
Well, what if the Starks end up on the Iron Throne, Sansa and Arya? That would be a happy ending, right?
I don't know.
Jon Snow
that.
Would be a happy ending. Oh yeah, happy ending is still in play. Do you think there will be a happy ending to Game of Thrones?
No.
Not really.
I think after 20 years, it's going to return. I mean, like I said, you know.
They're going to reboot it, kind of like Star Wars or something?
No, I just.
Is Game of Thrones this generation's Star Wars?
No.
You think Star Wars was bigger?
Star Wars was bigger. No, it's not even
Avengers
close.
Is this generation Star
you
Wars?
You and your millennial buddies, I don't care how much money this movie craps out. If you didn't lift it, you have no idea. Star Wars is a fundamental shift. That was the first movie with, it was rudimentary back then.
That's
but
true.
What
I don't think these superhero movies have been as groundbreaking.
Yeah.
Because there's been a slow build up to it. We've been seeing the CGI, you go back to The Matrix and Jurassic Park and all this stuff. It's been like a steady.
I mean, when
Star
when
Wars
Star
just
Wars
came out of nowhere,
yeah.
It was just like, oh, this is like nothing we've ever seen before.
Yeah.
Wait, but. Okay, counterpoint. I don't think that we've ever seen any franchise build up over 21 movies like we have now. The Last Avengers, the culmination of everything that's been going on, it's the biggest movie. I don't know if it'll catch Avatar, but the amount of numbers it's broken is just astronomical.
This isn't about a money thing.
To my quality.
But money goes into popularity.
Yeah, no, I mean that's true.
Like
but
pop culture.
But here's why. But keep going back. This is why I had to jump off the superhero movie bandwagon because it got so repetitive and it's just the same thing. And it was really cool. The first like three or five, like Iron Man
They're
was
all
awesome.
Same.
And the whole, yeah, it's all kind of a stock storyline, and you kind of generally know what's going to happen. And Star Wars would have been that way if they had made 20 of them.
Yeah.
Starting in 1977 or whenever it first came out, like that would have gotten old. There are only three, and they're all perfect, and so it's just like you just
yeah, but they
enjoy
were,
that.
It was just
but they're getting
so
set to do that to Star Wars. They're getting set to do that because Disney's going to crank out all these Star Wars movies now, and they're pretty good. But guess what? Eventually, we're going to get sick of them.
Yeah,
I'm just saying. If I think there's any, obviously, I wasn't there in 77 when it first came out, but I think if there's anything in today's culture for today's generation that is like what I know of Star Wars to be, I think it's certainly Avengers, the way that it has taken over.
You can't even compare. I don't think
you
understand.
I think there's
so much going on now. It's not just Avengers. Star Wars took over everything that summer.
Speaking of taking over, that's what Jiffy Lube Knoxville is doing. They've got 5 Jiffy Lube multi-care facilities now throughout East Tennessee, in addition to the 4 regular Jiffy Lube locations. Tell you what, man, I drove by the Jiffy Lube multi-care on Cedar Bluff near Middlebrook, and that thing was humming along this weekend. Jiffy Lube multi-care facilities can handle most maintenance and mechanical issues. They do repairs, they do tires, they do brakes, they do water pumps, everything. Check out JiffyLubeKnoxville.com to find your nearest spot. That's JiffyLubeKnoxville.com. They've got locations all over town, as I said. While you're there, be sure to download a coupon for $10 off your next visit. Yeah, free 10 bucks. It's sitting right there. We all have to maintain our cars, right? Well, most of us, Bear is the exception to that rule, but most of you have to maintain your car. $10 is just sitting there for you online right now, waiting for you at JiffyLubeKnoxville.com. Go download that coupon, take it in there, get 10 bucks off your next service. All right. Peel back the layers. We'll get into it. We'll hash it out. I have a feeling this is going to be heated. I have a feeling this might be our most heated Throne Zone yet, because Bear and Brandon loved the episode.
it wasn't a matter of love. It's just it went exactly how I thought it would.
Rick,
and it completes the story arc.
Rick has some issues with it. I have some issues with it. I still like it, but some of the inconsistencies and stuff beginning to pile up. Anyway, we'll get into it coming up next. Only one more episode, boys. Throne Zone coming your way next right here on Fox Sports Knoxville.
The Drive.
The Drive's podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group today at 865-566-0800. Applying for disability can be very tedious. Having an experienced attorney on your side makes it easy. Call Disability Advantage Group, 865-566-0800, or visit online at dag-us.com.
All right, here we go, the Throne Zone. We've got three of these left, including this one. We'll do it Friday, and then we'll do it Monday, a week from today, to wrap up the final episode and put a bow on it. Boys, it is the most catastrophic barbecue since Bruce Pearl, courtesy of Daenerys. Yesterday when she snapped. She absolutely snapped, man. Went crazy. And your thoughts on the episode. Bear and Brandon really like it. Then I'll get to Rick's going to pick it apart a little bit for us. So what did you guys like?
I mean, just graphically, I thought the story was set up well, the whole battle. I love that part. I mean, I like the whole thing. If I had to nitpick one thing that I didn't like, I wished Cersei's death would have been a little more
satisfying.
Yeah,
that has been a recurring theme through this show. Like I still feel like Ramsay Bolton did not get it for all the emotional distress he inflicted on so many people over the course of that show. Like, I felt like it was too quick for him. People have felt that way about Joffrey, other, you know, characters that died. They really want to see him suffer, which is interesting. That says something about us as a TV-watching society, doesn't it?
Yeah. Or a bunch of sickos.
Yeah.
You're confusing like with what I expected. I mean, they're falling.
So am I the only one that liked it?
I mean, I liked it, but... Like, everybody's all wound up about it, and they've basically been, everything's been driving towards what happened last night for going on, you know, the whole damn show. I mean, if they had had 10 episodes to let it play out, would it have flowed a lot better, and you guys wouldn't be quite as, have your, you know, feathers ruffled about how it's ending? Maybe, but, I mean, they've said it throughout the show. When a Targaryen's born, gods flip a coin. She's bat crap crazy. She burned it down. Burned it all down.
Here's my thing with Daenerys' heel turn. Like,
which I called.
I don't have... Everybody called that, Bear. Like, you don't get a I told you so for that. Like, that's kind of been the hot take of the season. To me, the problem isn't necessarily with like all the wild impossibleness of it, all the situations. But it's more of like how they come about, right? Like certain, and it's not just Danny. Like I'm not a huge fan of what they've done with Jamie this season. I find that kind of, that leaves a lot to be desired. Yeah, her heel turn has been foreshadowed a lot this season and really throughout the entire series. But it does seem very sudden and very forced. Like,
well, I mean, she was running. She was, let's just go over it. She was psychologically and sexually abused by her older brother, and she was sold into this marriage with a cow, the Dothraki horde,
that she fell
madly in love with. And he was, you know, he died tragically. Mm-hmm. And then she's got. I mean, she's a member. She's a Dothraki.
Well, while I do think that it is a little sudden with just how catastrophic what she did. At every point where something has went wrong with her, she's gotten progressively worse. With, I mean, you go from, I mean, just go last season when
the Tarleys?
With, yeah, when she burned the Lannister army.
They're an army. That's why they call it a war, Brandon.
Well,
that's
I know. Like I'm just. I'm saying. It's getting. It's gotten worse.
Up for yeah.
It's gotten worse
season.
Every time
but,
that things
but
have
here's
gone
the,
wrong.
The people that she's burned up have either been an army fighting against her, or slave traders, or like the Tarleys. Man, the Tarleys sucked, especially the dad. So, like, I don't feel sorry about them. Yeah, she's been brutal before, but it's always been like out of some sort of benevolent intention, right? Of
when she
we're gonna
crucified
make things...
the guys in Marine and yes. all that? You're yep. nuts.
You don't think that was to
no,
slavers.
It doesn't matter. I mean, she's progressively Wait, shown
so,
that she's
so
capable
you're equating
of monsters.
Slave traders with women and children running through the streets?
No,
of...
but what I am saying is a character, her character has progressed down a incredibly dark path.
Well, that was a huge jump that she took, though, last night. Huge.
It was a massive jump, and I think that's the issue. Is yes, there's been a lot of moments where obviously it's been foreshadowed, but they did it so fast. I'm not buying into the fact that she's going to just destroying innocent people when the show
that doesn't
built
fit in
her
with
up,
her character.
The entire show
in the past two episodes, she lost her two best friends. And Cersei cut the head off one
no,
of them.
I don't,
so let's
I don't
turn
buy
into a
jump.
Psycho killer?
I don't buy the jump that
she
that,
saw the red key.
That everything she's
she
worked
crazy.
For
she
seven
snapped.
Seasons has changed in a matter of 60 minutes of runtime.
She well, but, said it all okay. along.
So, but that's the thing.
Yeah.
Is that this show's fastball has been predicated on these huge unexpected swings that like nobody saw coming and or like left you feeling shocked and devastated after you go from Bran, the first episode, Bran thrown out the window, Ned Stark being decapitated, the Red Wedding, like all those.
The Sept, the Grand Sept.
It leaves
scene.
You sitting there going, oh my God, like I cannot believe that just happened.
Same thing.
And no, it wasn't because you were so emotionally invested in those characters. And when they're unexpected, whatever hits you, it hits you hard, man. Yeah, Danny's break with Sanity wasn't completely unexpected because they've been hinting at it and foreshadowing it for so long. But she's one of the major protagonists of this entire show. And I think what Rick is saying is it's hard to undo all the hopes and dreams you've put into that character since the very first episode. We've been watching this show for 10 years now.
Yeah, but you guys weren't paying attention to what she was saying all the time.
Yes, we were, Bear. Like I said several times that you could see some of this coming.
Yeah.
But again, part of the show's fastball is you see it coming and then boom, they hit you with something else.
Well, the thing is like I know that's coming. I know that they have been building up to it. But they've just done it so fast that they've had to leap over, like, critical moments.
Well, that's because the show moments. Writers didn't want to.
Exactly.
HBO wanted 10 seasons,
here's,
10 episodes.
Here's other issues of the show. They spent 7 years, 7 seasons, making Tyrion just one of the most intellectually smart people. He's a complete idiot. He's a complete moron nowadays. They spent 7 seasons making Jaime Lannister a noble, redeemed character for nothing. What is happening? We don't get half the characters in each show. There's
what
there's
what'd
just...
you want him to do? He went back to be with Cersei.
I wanted to kill him. Okay, then they should
never have done anything they did within the rest of the show because his whole character arc was to be a redeemed warrior, and then he goes back to his incestful sister to die a chump's death.
Well, it's not a chump's death. He came into the world with her. It's his twin. He's going to die with her.
He killed Euron with the one hand. I mean, that's pretty baller.
Yeah.
He's not redeemed.
Did you like it when he smacked him with that hand?
He's not redeemed anymore. He's a loser.
I kept waiting for him the whole season to just, like, absolutely brain somebody with that hand and just, you know. Anyway, I don't want to come – I was entertained by the episode. Still looking forward to the next one.
Watching it again tonight.
But – It's just different, man. Yeah, here's how I describe it. This season is kind of like Van Halen. You know, and maybe the whole show. It bursts onto the scene. There's David Lee Roth. He's doing the splits. Eddie Van Halen is the loudest, most insane thing you've ever heard.
Okay.
And you love it for like the 3 or 4 albums, just gold. And then Sammy Hagar comes in. And like it's, you know, every now and then there's a When It's Love, Come On Baby, Finish What You Started. There's a banger in there every now and then. But it's not the same as it used to be.
Had more hits with Sammy.
Game of Thrones is Van Halen. It's still pretty good. It's still pretty good. All right.
The Clegane Bowl?
Clegane Bowl.
Delivered.
Delivered big time.
Poor Kyburn. Poor Kyburn.
He went out fast.
I cheered.
That wasn't too painful.
Wasn't too painful.
We'll get his skull cracked
like that.
Open like an
egg. He's done. He's donezo. Like as soon as, I mean, it's over in 2 seconds. He's not sitting there bleeding out, man.
No, his brain's like 10 feet away from his body. That was weird looking.
That's Macabre Bear.
Yeah, it is. And the dragon flying over.
Yeah, that was probably my favorite shot of the whole show.
The shadow.
No, so when the mountain and the hound are standing on the staircase and the dragon flies through.
It's just apocalyptic.
Yeah.
Everything's crumbling around them.
What about the hound getting over his fear of fire right at the very end?
I think he just knew that he was dead man. They were both dead.
Hell,
for a second, I thought that the mountain was going to be able to, like, I thought he was just going to kill the hound and not
crush his head all over.
Oh, I was like, oh, I can't watch. I can't watch the hound get his skull crushed.
But, you know, at the beginning, pour one out for the Master of Whispers, Lord Varys, trying to poison Dany.
He was right.
It's a bold move. Let's see how it plays out for him, Cotton. No, not very well.
He was right.
Toasty Varys. He was right.
That was like the second time he tried to poison her, wasn't it?
Man, if he could have just gotten the job done, like, think of how... I hate to go back to this, but they're ringing the stupid bells. Dany's won. Everything she's worked for the entire season. Yeah, there's going to be a little bit of a power struggle. The Stark sisters aren't going to go along with it. But Jon Snow's firm. He doesn't want the job, man. He's going to bend the knee. All she has to do is walk up there, let her soldiers kill Cersei and their folks, and she is queen. Everything she's wanted, it's right there. It's done. She won.
No.
But she's got a snap.
She took the Iron Throne.
Yeah, for a minute. I mean, she's dead, right? It's just a matter
of
who's going to
kill her. I
don't
know that one scene. I stopped that scene. I don't know where the hell she got all these more unsullied soldiers, but that first scene from next week,
where'd
she
get all the Dothraki, too?
Some of them survived, apparently.
I guess so.
Yeah, and last episode, they said half the Dothraki and half the unsullied made it. Details.
Well, and again,
I mean, look at all. I mean, she. Look, I don't know. I still don't get the. Let's not act like she hadn't been just like wholesale killing people with fire for years now.
The
all the cows.
These indestructible the scorpions, man. They've just turned. They've rendered the dragon useless, and then she just comes over there. It's like she went in, watched the film, and like, oh, I got to do this different here, and if I do this, this is their weakness. She comes in, there, perfect game plan.
She came in through the back door on him. Remember
that? Seems a little bit far-fetched, but
I mean, didn't nobody think she might
just a nosedive came out of the sky. Straight down.
I didn't think she would never fall off that thing.
I don't know.
She's
Kit Harington,
the
guy who plays Jon Snow, about lost one of his cojones on it.
Yeah.
That machine thing.
I mean, do you guys think...
You know that?
So you don't think she dies?
Daenerys?
Yeah.
I don't know.
If she dies, who kills her? Arya, Jon, or Tyrion? I see, like, Tyrion, is he just going to hang back and roll with Jon, or is he going to go up there and try to talk some sense into her, or is he just done with her after seeing this?
He's probably done with her. I think if anybody kills her, it'd have to be...
It's got to be Jon or Arya.
I don't think Arya would be able to get close enough.
You don't think Arya could get close enough?
Mm-mm.
But she got close enough to the Night King.
Yeah, she'd get close to anybody, man. She's one of the faces or something.
Do you guys think that white horse at the end of it was Brand Worging? Because if it was not, I will be livid.
He's just he's completely you're completely irrational. Right. I'm not going to attempt to do any more Throne Zone with Rick
today. If it's not Bran warging into the horse to go save Arya, you're telling me that everything in a 10 block radius is dead and burnt to ashes except for one single horse and Arya.
Dude, wrestling was real until like I told you it was fake like 3 weeks ago.
I don't think that's a big. I don't know. I just read into it. It was a death
one
symbol
horse.
And. It's for, you know, she's riding death now.
One horse.
Revelation. She's going to come. Like to me, that's foreshadowing. She's
going to
kill somebody.
Yeah.
You haven't seen that?
No.
I'm with you.
Pale
with
horse.
You.
One rider whose name is Death.
I'm with you, Russ. I think Rick is just enjoy it. Just enjoy it.
You've set yourself up, Rick.
All right. Anything else? One last thing. But Jamie out. At least my dude Tormund is free to resume his super awkward courtship of Brienne.
It's a big woman.
Because they're coming back. Yeah, I mean, you know, they're coming back. We're going to get the Iron Islands, what's her face, Yara or whatever.
Yeah, she didn't play into it at all.
They're all coming back now. I mean, they got to team up. The forces of good against the forces of evil.
It's going to have to go quick. We got 80 minutes left.
I'm just having trouble, man, buying Dany as the new face of evil. It was such a quick heel turn, man.
She's the Mad King's
talking about wrestling.
Daughter.
It's like when the face just turns and starts clubbing his partner over the head.
She watched her husband melt her brother's head off.
Making excuses for her.
I'm just saying, she's been crazy for years. Y'all were just blinded by her beauty and her bosoms. I mean, she's been bloodthirsty going all the way back to season
one. You got your head in the sand a little bit on this one, man. I mean, it's like
I love the show.
But
you're
this
out
is,
of order.
I mean, she's been saying that she's been she
blood I mean, and fire, Russ. That's what the girl's been saying for 8 years
before
now.
Before she lost any one of the dragons, she said, "I have three dragons. I'm gonna fly them to the Red Keep, burn it down."
She said she would retake the Iron Throne with blood and fire.
Again, I'm not saying that
you
this was
you and Rick, go ahead and
stay
do
with
your
us.
Thing.
The drive continues. Fan Run Radio. We're back with more. The shocking conclusion of the drive coming up. Like Van Halen, it was like the 95 Florida game. Remember that one, Bear? Peyton and the boys
out.
Go down to the swamp. We're just bludgeoning them.
It was like Ken almost bit his tongue off.
Yes. I think we got up like I remember Raymond Austin ran a fumble back. Like we were just running the fan on them. It was like 31-14 at the half or something. We're feeling pretty good. This is before Florida was in our heads. It's like
this is
up
when
to that
Florida
point,
got in our head.
Yeah, up to that point, it was like we won at home, they won on the road. And we go down there, we got Peyton, and we're just killing them. And you're feeling pretty good. We're going to beat Florida in the swamp. It's not done, but we just got to go out there and kind of grind it out. And then we come in like Jay Graham fumbled a couple of times. We missed a chip shot field goal. And the next thing you know, you look up the scoreboard and it's 62-30. And you're just like, what in the hell just happened? That's what that episode was last night. It's like Daenerys is coming down. She's killed all the scorpions. The gate is breached. The Golden Army is a bunch of cowards. Like, they're just killing it, right? And then all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose.
Yeah, I expected something from the Golden Company. It didn't get anything.
Yeah, that was kind of a pointless storyline.
They got their asses roasted alive. Jamie, he tried to tell her that after the Loot Train episode when he found her in the keep. He was like, nothing can stand against her. I mean, talking about her army's a mixture of the Dothraki horde, the Unsullied, and she's got a gigantic-ass dragon breathing fire.
She had it, man. She had it won.
She didn't have she had, nothing.
She did it?
No.
Yeah, she did.
She submitted
it was
it.
Over. Like, all she had to do was walk up the street, and it's over. She had game, set, and match, but she had to go crazy on you like Hart. She had to go
Bear
full Nancy
know.
Wilson.
Bear wouldn't know. He doesn't like Hart.
I like one Hart song.
They Dog covered, and the Butterfly.
No, they covered Stairway to Heaven at the Kennedy Center Honors for Led Zeppelin. That's the
well,
only time I've liked them.
We'll see one more episode of Game of Thrones, and then it'll belong to the ages, and we can truly assess where it ranks in the pantheon of television history.
It's ending like The Wire. It ended for me. It's like everybody's acting just like they've always acted.
Here's the one criticism. I will assume that all the major plot points, like Danny's break with reality or whatever, is like George R.R. Martin told the writers this. It's like he might not have written out the screens and scenes and scripted it for them, but like he tells them all the major, like, here's what happens. You guys figure out how we get there.
I mean, are we really surprised that a Targaryen went mad again?
But you are stuck on that. But we, like, this has happened with several shows. Like, The West Wing sucked after Aaron Sorkin left. Mad Men took a huge dive after, like, season 3 or 4, after, like, some of the main writers kind of stepped back away from it. The one show, like, whenever you talk to people about, like, what show finished great?
Breaking Bad.
Because... Is it Vince Gilligan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, the same writers from start to finish.
Yeah, he ushered the whole project through, right? And we're at that point with Breaking Bad where we're beyond the wall, beyond the books, and you're relying so much on people who aren't George R. R. Martin that it definitely changes. Whether it's good or bad, like, that's up to you, but there's definitely – it's a little bit different here towards the end. That's going to do it for us. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Brandon. Thank you, Bear. Podcast will be up momentarily. Presented by DAG. Overtime coming up next. We'll do it again tomorrow, 3 to 6, right here on Fan Run Radio. The Drive.